Okay, Sonny, it's all yours.
Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only our alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual awakening and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And we have asked Dave to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Can you unmute Dave?
Yeah, I did. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Dave. I am an alcoholic, and these are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Dave. Today, we will hear a talk on step 12. Please help me give a warm welcome to Bobby B. from Sonoma, California. Come on in, Bobby.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Gratefully sober since October 6, 1978. I was 25. I'm very glad to be here. I'm honored when I'm asked to share, because not from my ego so much, but I just have had such a deep and meaningful shift in my persona through coming to Alcoholics Anonymous and working through the 12 steps. I am not the same person who came in these doors in 1978. I have reflections of different aspects of my personality that continue to be resolved by continuing to work the steps 1 through 12 in my recovery. It's not an end. I didn't graduate. I was flailing in my recovery about 4 years, 3.5 years ago. And then COVID hit. I didn't have a sponsor. I hadn't had one for 12 years. It was sad how it happened, and I had a deep resentment. I have since brought that resentment to my current sponsor. She took that resentment to her sponsor because never had she ever said, "You don't need to make amends to anybody for this type of action." She said, I even took it to my sponsor and she said, no, she does not need to make amends here. Because it was still, you know, hurt. I was hurt by the issue. And so as a result, I started going. It talks about in the forward to the fourth edition, we go modem to modem. And so Senna and myself and some others got very active in starting a, Zoom virtual AA meeting, because we knew we're not going to make it. We can't make it. We've got to have something. What's it going to be? And Senna had so much technical capabilities, and I'd get on the phone list and tell people we're going to do this thing, and here's the number, and you know, you got to join and just come, and it's going to be the same time. We had a home group at 7:30 in the morning where we met every day. And I was going to meetings, but I didn't have a sponsor. And I didn't sponsor because I knew enough, you can't sponsor if you don't have a sponsor. And so someone suggested going to the Austin PPG meeting, you know, and getting really into the book. And so I started doing that, and they said, and I loved it. And they said, if you don't have a sponsor or want a sponsor who sponsors people the way we're talking about it in the book, just give us your email and we'll send you a sponsor. And I've had that same sponsor from Texas ever since. And I work the steps again. You know, I now sponsor. I continue to work a program. I did have a belief in God. I didn't know that God really forgave me or loved me for everything in my alcoholism years. I've come to find great peace through working the steps as each one comes back up to be looked at again. If it's not over, my heart doesn't let it go. And then I bring it up again. And I do work on it. You know, I don't know what to say. I just know that going through step one, you know, I had to be completely powerless and surrender to be on step 12. No one can get to an effective step 12 experience without continuing to surrender my ego thoughts, the shapeshifter that wants to tell me, you know, you're okay. You're okay. You don't have to be working quite this hard. You know, you've already been to 2 meetings and it's 8:30. You know, I go to a morning meditation meeting at 6 a.m. My husband wakes me at 5. I get curlers in my hair, and that's how I present myself at that morning meditation meeting, the lady with the rollers, you know, in my hair. And I do that to show people it doesn't matter what we look like. Just show up. You know, just be one of. There are no higher ups. There's no like leaders. We're all the same here. You know, I am the same as every single other person here in this room. And I appreciate you all coming, people who know me and people who don't. You know, I wasn't going to put out that I'm speaking today because I thought, well, that's very egotistical. And then I've seen other people do it. And I'm like, I want people to see and hear who I am. Sometimes I'm not that open, or we're just sharing on a particular topic and I keep my share to 3 minutes or less, you know, and so there's not a lot of time for people to get to know my heart. So I grew up in the Boston area. I graduated from school in Westwood, Massachusetts. And immediately first drink blackout. I'd been watching my parents. I knew what I was looking for. I'm like, I'm never going to be like them. So first blackout and I already had excuses. Well, I didn't eat enough. Oh, it was the wrong alcohol. Oh, you know, I'll be more careful next time. All these excuses why having a blackout didn't signify that I had to stop right now. But I was ready. I was ready to go through my alcoholism and all the experiences that brought me to a hell that I hope no one here ever has to experience. I got here at 23, and people were talking about God. And I thought, well, God already, he already doesn't love me. He didn't protect me. You know, I was abandoned early on in that family, or so I thought. And so I didn't stay. I didn't stay at 23. I could have stayed. I could have avoided this incredible hell I lived through from 23 to 25. The night before I came in October 1978, I made the decision that this time, Bobby, you're going to get suicide right. We're getting out of here. This life has nothing to hold for us. You know, we are the misfits, Bobby. And I'm done. I'm done trying hard. I'm done failing hard. I'm done humiliating myself hard, having no morals, no ethics. I'm done. I can't do this life. I'm not good at it. And I failed. And I surrendered to suicide. And the next day, somebody I worked with was going to go to an AA meeting, and I didn't bring up the mental thought of, I've been to AA. But I said, you know, I'll go with him. And I went with him. And I went into that meeting and announced myself as an alcoholic. And an older woman came up to me and handed me a big book, said, "Hi, my name's Mary Jane. I'm your sponsor. Dinner's at 6. I never drank again. That's the grace of God. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. And there it was. And it's lifted me up and out of the hell that I had created due to my alcoholism. I pay that back every day by continuing in this program to the best of my ability. Let me tell you, it has not always been good. Like I said, I had a long spell of no sponsor. You know, I used to sponsor and I didn't have good boundaries. I've learned from that. A lot of Al-Anon lessons, you know, that we don't blur our boundaries. We have clear boundaries and we're helping people. We just don't caretake people. If they're not well enough to listen to what the steps are and commit to this program of recovery, we go to somebody who will listen. And so I'm here today just to talk about step 12 and I sponsor women, and I use Back to Basics book because I'm old. And when my sponsor was going through taking me through the steps. She's like, oh, page this in the big book and page this in the 12 and 12. I'm like, I'm old. How am I going to be able to replicate that? You want to give me a copy of all your pages? She said, just take them through back to basics book. And I did. I do that. That is how I sponsor women. I go through the back to basics book. I tell them of the Texas back to basics meeting that's every Wednesday, 7:30 Central Time. And I did it. I went through the back to basics again, just as a refresher, you know, oh, what else can I pick up here? And so that's how I sponsor women. And I encourage them to sponsor. Only one of my sponsees is sponsoring. And, you know, I'm sure there's a failure of myself in that, that I haven't given enough information about that. And more will be revealed. So that's one phase of my step 12 sponsoring. Other women do it remarkably well and with grace. And they seem to have numbers of sponsees who sponsor. I'm just not one of those. But I do service in virtual meetings. You know, I'm a host, co-host. You know, I was treasurer of my home group for two plus years as we were getting going and getting our bank account and getting it all straightened. And we're a real group now. You know, we've got a good base and there's a lot of love, you know, and finding the next person who wants to take over, you know, help guide people and encourage people to try it. Try hosting, you know. And just getting new blood because, you know, the rotation of service. I am not all that. I am one piece of a very large puzzle. And if it's my job more than sponsoring to help encourage people to take on those new responsibilities, you know, of a treasurer, you know, alternate treasurer, and give confidence for those kind of things that support our AA meetings, that's more of what my service seems to be these days. You know, I don't have all the wit and everything of, you know, these famous speakers that I listen to that my sponsor tells me about. And I listen to them and I'm like, wow, you know, we lost one of them. I don't go to the Wednesday PVG meeting anymore. I go to a Saturday. It's 9 a.m. Central and at Hope Central, my other home group. And it's a small, intimate, and we do the big book the way they do it, but there's fewer of us. And it's just getting going, you know, and I just love being part of that meeting. Being part of a PPG meeting for me, primary purpose group, where we study the big book line by line, and listen to people and their experience with that line and people from all over the country was so wonderful with the Austin PPG. I had never had that before. I had never known about that before COVID. Thank God for COVID. Just really, I mean, what a mercy, what a gentle mercy God has bestowed on me by having COVID come. And, you know, what else do I have to say? It's probably getting close to time, but I've been married in this program. No one wanted to marry me before I came to AA. And unfortunately, I divorced twice in this program. And neither was in the church. And so when I met my current husband, we got married in the church when I was 55. And that's coming up on 16 years now. I have two daughters. My husband has two daughters about the same ages, and we have three grandkids. And I don't think I'm a great grandma because I'm crabby, you know. And if they do something that makes the dog like scared, then I yell, and that's great remorse for me. I'm so not the good grandma, but I do my best. I'm gonna see one family Saturday. But it takes a huge act of will for me. You guys, if you call me, you want me, I am there. I'm blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, I'll call you right back. But do I think call your children, it comes with a great force because it's not automatic for me. Because when I was raising my youngest daughter who had addiction problems, she was in recovery at 14. It was like, oh God, it's so-and-so, you know, and the anxiety would come and what do I have to do now? And how does she need me now? And am I going to be able to be there for her? And so when I don't get a call, I tend to just let it go. Just let it go, you know? And there have been times as an adult, she has mood disorder, anxiety and panic disorder. And I've been there for her. She's called and there I am. But do I call and just go, how you doing? I'm kind of afraid. I don't want to hear anything bad. You know, her son's been in recovery. He's 14. You know, so this is a great regret of mine that I am not a better parent and grandparent. I am only what God has made me thus far. And thus far is I'm okay to be a fellow among fellows in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I have, they now have found in the 80s scientific proof alcoholism is genetic. It is in my genes. There was nothing I could have done that first drink to control it. I know that now, and I knew it then, but I thought it was because I was bad. I thought it was because I was weak and that I absolutely had no morals, you know, and coming from a girl who had wanted to be a nun, after my first drink, that thought never came back. I did want that religious life. I still go to Mass. I've gone to Mass, except for one marriage. During those 7 years, he didn't want me to go to church, so I didn't. And then as soon as I got out of it, the girls got baptized, and I continued on. But the 12-step comes in myriad forms. You know, just when someone says, can I call you later? You know, and then saying, yes, as soon as this meeting is over, I can call you. And following through. That's step 12, because it's one alcoholic reaching out to another. And people were there for me throughout my whole recovery. You know, they say a man is on a desert island and the water's coming in. You know, and he's praying to God, 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 help me, God. You know, you've got to come save me. I know you can. I know you will. And a boat goes by. It comes by and says, I'll help you. No, I'm waiting for God. You know, and then a helicopter is above with a string. And I'll help you. No, I'm waiting for God. And then he's at St. Peter's and he goes, hey, Peter. You know, where was God? You know, I prayed. I have a good girl. And where was he? And then St. Peter goes, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. And that's what 12-step is for me. It's the helicopters. It's the boats. But it takes first my willingness to be powerless, to know, God, this is a disease. It's a really crappy, crappy disease. But I can surrender and know. But then there's recovery, which is the greatest joy of my life. I would be an alcoholic again next lifetime if I didn't have the tools that I have now. I would in a heartbeat say, yes, make me one of them. Because through Bill and Bob, I have this now. Bob could not stay sober. You know, he got drunk the night before his surgery. He has the surgery the next day after being given a goofball so he could stand erect enough. I've gone into work on cocaine, and I'm in the dental profession. I've gone to work after lunch, having snorted nitrous oxide all lunch. Oh, yeah. So he got the goofball. And then after surgery, he had a conviction that he would go to one after the other of the people he needed to make amends to. And he humbled himself. He was powerless and humbled himself enough to say, I'm sorry, and how can I make this right? And that Bob and Lois were worried. I mean, and Anne were worried, like, oh God, where is he? Oh my God, he's been gone all night. We don't know where he is, you know, pre-cell phone. And he comes in like on cloud nine. He never drank again. You tell me those steps don't work. You know, step nine, man, do it. You know, be free. Last summer and the summer before, I reached out to my two birth sisters to have lunch. It didn't happen the year before last year. And we had plans this year. It was for 1 o'clock on Sunday. You know, I'm not on vacation. And I get a call from each of them and they can't make it. One has COVID and the other one's mother goes into hospice. And then I just return the message with, oh, okay. And I called my sponsor and she said, okay, now call them or text them and say, it's okay. I love you. I need guidance. I can't do this on my own. I was mad. I was hurt. I was wounded again. And she redirected my thought to right action. Right action, not just action. Love is the answer to all my problems today. Love, not acceptance. We just read this chapter in one of my home groups. Acceptance is not the answer to all my problems. Love is the only answer. And I found it here in Mary Jane saying, my name's Mary Jane. Here's the big book. I'm your sponsor. Dinner at 6. Love saved my life. I was going to die. I decided, and believe me, I get done what I'm going to do. I'm one of those people. Put it on a list. I'll get it done, you know. And love saved my life. I didn't deserve to have my life saved. I didn't get here because I was a good girl. Didn't get arrested, and I should have. I got pulled over. And I, being, you know, shocked that authority was there like they used to be growing up, I get adrenaline like you wouldn't believe, and I can talk anybody out of anything. And I'd be like, oh, yes, officer. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I swerving? I was reaching for water. I never got arrested, and I should have. Back in 1978, they were just saying, honey, you know, how close are you to home? You know, I'll follow you home. You know, make sure you get there okay. And don't come out again tonight. Oh, officer, absolutely not, officer. You know, so is that, you know, double standard because I'm a girl, or was it just before they realized what a horrible problem this was? And people were killing people. I used to have blackouts, and so I'd go down to the garage when I came to on mornings. Lucky if I was only at home. Thank you so much, Sonny. And see if there was blood. That's the kind of alcoholic I was. See if the car was there and see if there was blood. You know, and that's after turning to somebody and going, who are you? You know, in my house. You know, I was not a good girl. I didn't deserve this program, but God saw fit. God was always there. I just didn't know. And then there's a great story. Mark, I forget his last name. I was just listening to his tape. He's so good. About everyone swimming in the ocean of God, you know, and they're just having a good old time. They're just swimming. And then they come up to this newcomer and they say, hey, isn't the water great? And then the newcomer looks at them and goes, what's water? You know, God's always been there. Who changed? It wasn't God. God has always been the water that held me. I want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share this little bit of myself with you and hopefully encourage you to get in the book, get in a PPG meeting, and get in the words, you know, the things that will lift us up when there are times we feel down. And this will never stop being, because it's the human condition, not necessarily the alcoholic condition, but it's human to not feel as good as, to feel less than or afraid. I was terrified coming into this meeting. I was terrified. And what I do, I listened and I read. And then finally I sat down with my feet on the floor without shoes and said, it's your meeting, God. You give the people what they need to hear, because I don't know who's going to get something that may change their life. And if I can be that Mary Jane to somebody and say, my name's Bobby, I'm an alcoholic, here's the big book, I'm your sponsor, dinner's at 6. Thanks.